Welcome to the Northeast Screencast. Let's do it.
All right, you're listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys?
Wonderful. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm great. We're about to embark on a journey together.
Like always.
The Florida Keys.
Oh, that one. Well, yeah, that is special, isn't it?
Yeah, we're doing that.
It's yeah, gonna be a lot of fun. We'll be coming at you guys with some like live videos of us sipping like what, pina coladas or whatever you drink down there.
Having key lime pie.
Key lime pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time, man.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
You'll hold it down here, Ryan. Thank
you. I'll keep the equipment warm here. Yeah. Don't worry.
We know you will, man. It's going to be a good time. Can't wait.
It is going to be a good time. And in the meantime, we need you guys to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, probably still SoundCloud, Podbean, Overcast, you name it. We're there.
We out there.
Yeah. All right. So had a great time yesterday, actually, guys, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
We got up bright and early. We drove ourselves to St. Paul, which is rare for us.
You know how I feel about St. Paul, but this was like hardly St. Paul.
Yeah.
It's just like, if it's Midway, I can do it.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, right off uni. It's not too bad.
So we drive ourselves to St. Paul bright and early, and we find ourselves at the still fairly new Fair State Brewing Facility.
Yeah. The St. Paul Brewing Facility for Fair State.
Yeah, which was pretty miraculous. It was huge.
Huge.
It was so exciting to see our little darlings, Fair State.
Talking about friends of the pod, these are like OG friends of the pod.
These are like the first brewery.
Our first live episode we ever did was with Matt Hawk, you know, in Fair State, and it was loud as hell.
Yeah.
It's like the busiest night they ever had.
It was full of a whole party bus of people shouting.
Shouting. Everybody was yelling.
There were dogs in there?
There was like two dogs.
Yeah.
And I was like keeping my eyes on the dogs in two separate parts, and then I saw them coming together, and I knew it was going to be loud, and they were barking like crazy.
Yeah.
And after that event, I was like, we're never doing a live thing again. That was terrible. It was so loud. You couldn't hear anything that anybody was saying.
That's true.
And
none of us were wearing headphones. Yeah. I don't know about that trick yet.
Yeah.
I mean, these were the basics that we hadn't grasped yet.
It was the lo-fi of podcasts that we were doing. It was not the best thing we've ever done.
Even when we were in our studio, it didn't sound that great then. So you brought that setup out into the world. It was tough.
Yeah, so just...
We've come a long way.
Just like they were... you know, I guess just like we were a tiny little podcast that is now the biggest, most listened to, most exciting, most followed podcast in all of Minnesota.
Okay. I thought you were just going to be real with it and say in Northeast Minneapolis, but I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, they've also grown up and they have an incredible space now. They had some exciting news that they are starting to actually sell their product all through Wisconsin, in parts of South Dakota, and even in New York City. So getting some national respect and love that they've deserved. And it was really exciting because we were there for the release of a new beer.
The canning day. This beer isn't out until, what, next week or something. So this is Mirror Universe. And this is the second in sort of a trend that they're going to keep going where they're making these hazy, delicious beers. This one is super awesome. I don't know who out there tried Spirit Fall, their last one that they had teamed up with Modern Times. They did this one on their own, and they don't need Modern Times to make super delicious hazy beers because this one turned out fantastic.
Well, maybe it was sort of like a learning some lessons from Modern Times on how to do a hazy, and then
they're like the hazy experts. I mean, I don't want to say they invented it, but they certainly
perfected
a lot of them. Yeah. So, yeah, this is really awesome. The can is absolutely beautiful.
Not your typical Fair State can.
No, I mean, same with Spirit Fall, right? It was like those kind of concentric circles, and they were all different colors, really cool looking. I think this one might be even cooler. It almost looks like Star Wars when you jump into hyperdrive with a big mirror universe text across it. Really cool, just mostly black and white with a little red stripe on there.
One of the best cans I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean,
I really like it.
You would see this thing on the shelf and just grab it for sure.
Yeah, so it was awesome. It was so much fun. We actually got the beers, I don't know, how many seconds after they were canned?
Nine.
I mean, it was like handed to us off the line. It was awesome.
It was like still wet.
Yeah.
So it was really fun.
It was ice cold. Yeah. It's the coldest I've ever had, like, a beer that wasn't, like, in a chest cooler.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was, I didn't realize that they canned cold, but that's cool. I mean, these beers are not pasteurized. You know, any really good local craft beer doesn't need to be pasteurized. And so I'm sure they keep it cold, ship it cold, and any good liquor store will put it in their coolers. Don't buy beer that's not.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It was really exciting. Met some cool people there. Got a tour of their facilities. And, yeah, it was so fun to see one of our favorite places doing big things. And, you know, obviously having a huge impact on the local brew scene. And, you know, obviously now hopefully nationally as well, getting some of that respect that they've deserved.
Well, yeah. And what else is really cool about the space is you can tell that they just sort of got things going. They got a lot of space that they can utilize. I'm not going to say it's disorganized, but I think they could have organized some of their stacks of things a little bit differently, and they definitely have room to grow that and make even more beer, I think, which is probably a really cool.
And one really cool thing we got on the mini tour that we went on was they took us back into the barrel room. So Fair State's been absolutely killing kettle sours, right? You make a beer, you add a lactobacteria into the kettle, and it turns sour in the course of, like, you know, 12 hours. The other way to make sour is to let it ferment, let it kind of go bad in a good way in a barrel over a long period of time. And that's how you get the funky flavors. And I've been waiting for that for them, and they're going big on it. They're going to can sours, like barrel sours, and that's never been done before.
What did they call it? Mixed fermentation beers?
Mixed
culture beers? Yeah, yeah. They're going to be the first ones to can.
So that's really awesome. And they have a ton of barrels in there, so I expect to see a decent amount. Like, we should be able to, you know, find these.
Yeah.
So good for them.
It was really exciting.
Yeah. So, hey, we show them love. They're showing love back. We love the camaraderie.
Yeah. So get out to Fair State. Try these new beers. As soon as Mirror Universe is on shelves, make sure you go grab it for yourself. You're definitely going to want to try it. And, yeah, just continue to support one of our favorite breweries and a brewery who's been with us and helping us out since day one. So get over to Fair State. It's a great time. You definitely will not regret it. And we're excited to see what they do next.
Well, make sure you don't go to the St. Paul Brewing Facility, because you can't get anything there.
Yeah, you can't even get in.
You got to go to the Northeast location.
Yeah. It is just a business. So, yeah. But, yeah, it was awesome. So nice to see it.
All right. So in a couple news items, again, we have a few hats left. Northeast Podcast hats. We have blue. We have black. We have gopher colors. We have twins. We have Timberwolves colors. They look great. You're definitely going to want to get one. They're $10 a piece. We also have some winter caps if you would like to get one of those, if that's more your style. Just let us know. We're happy to ship it to you, or you can come pick one up from us, whatever you want. Look great. Support your favorite podcast, Northeast Podcast Hats, $10. And then again, at the end of this month, big live event at Bauhaus. It's the 29th, Thursday the 29th at 7 o'clock. We'll be at Bauhaus. We'll have a few fun guests. We'll have some little prizes to give away. We'll be there drinking beers with you at one of the best spaces in all of the Twin Cities. Definitely one of the best spaces in Northeast Minneapolis, Bauhaus.
It's going to be big, man. I'm really, really looking forward to it. We've confirmed with Mark Parrish, hockey legend, wild hockey legend, announcing currently the high school hockey tournament. Friend of the pod, he'll be with us, and we'll see who else we can get.
Yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. Make sure you put that on your calendars. I know Thursday night you're going to be tired. You're going to be trying to make excuses as to why you need to stay in and watch Netflix, but you don't. You can come out. You can enjoy some wonderful beer at Bauhaus. Have some fun with us. Get out. Meet some new people. Who knows what will happen. It's going to be a blast. Be there March 29th at Bauhaus, live Northeast podcast.
And then you can be home by 9:30 and watch Netflix.
Yeah, like, you can still do that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on as we drink this delicious beer. We're going to move on to our screencast today, and we're going to start with Do We Care? First line of business, the biggest movie coming out in the near future, Avengers Infinity War Part 1. We found out the running time, and it's going to be a
staggering,
a quick 2 hours and 36 minutes.
Just a quick drive to Duluth, you know. It's you know, people were kind of like, hey, how are you going to fit all these characters in there? You know, why are you introducing more and more if you don't have room for them? And Marvel's just like, hold my beer. We're going to make it over 2.5 hours long. and I love it. Good.
It just makes me think
the same to get into
that. They should be able to do this. Like, you should be able to buy, all right, movie theaters and Marvel. Get your notebook out. This is what you should be able to do. You should be able to buy a $50 movie pack to a movie theater of your choice to go see, instead of part one and part two, four parts of the Marvel finale here. And instead of 2 hours and 36 minutes long, you get 4 hour-and-a-half episodes of this. And they're every 6 months for 2 years.
Okay.
That sounds way better to me. I don't need to go see a 2 hour and 36.
Oh, you think it's too long?
I do. I think it's silly.
I think it's too long when you're watching it, I bet. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a blast, but I'm just saying I would be more excited if one movie was coming out in May and one was coming out in November than one in May and then I have to wait a long time for another 3 hour movie. Give me more content, shorter content. I would be more excited, you know, for a longer period of time. I just think they're making a mistake here.
The problem is that if people don't like the first part of it, they're going to be like, well, I'm not going to the rest. I suppose, but if they already bought the $50 pack, you're in for the... $50
pack
for movies. So that's not a horrible idea.
But you're trying to revolutionize here. This is not
even
done.
2 hours and 30 minutes. I mean, what was The Last Jedi? That was like 220. It's 15 minutes longer. Yeah, it's going to be longer because you got to stick through the end credits and all that stuff. But like Blade Runner was almost 3 hours.
Dude, it's going to be absolutely action-packed. It's going to be great. It's going to be a movie where I'm watching it and hoping it doesn't end. And so...
And then you look at your phone, you're like, shit, there's only like 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to go that quickly.
I'm sorry, guys. I love movie theater popcorn. And if you have movie theater popcorn, you need a big old pop. And that means I'm going to have to take a pee break for sure in a 2 hour and 36 minute movie.
So you try to stick it through the whole time?
I try.
Oh,
not going to.
That's not. Yeah. That should not be your goal.
First down, second I get.
Just wait till you see Scarlet Witch, and that's your time to hit the restroom.
No, anytime that Vision.
Yeah, well, they're like a thing.
Yeah,
so
Vision is on screen, I'm out.
Time to go.
There's going to be a Bucky monologue scene in an apartment somewhere. You can probably hit the bathroom then.
Yeah, anytime Bucky shows up, time to go. The Mantis from Guardians, that would be a good time to get out of there. Yeah, man, there's some B-side characters you can skip.
Okay, all right. So we do care, obviously.
Oh, yeah, we do care. I'm excited, man. This is good news, not bad news, assholes.
All right, Jon Favreau is going to be doing, is it a Star Wars television show?
Yeah.
What do we know about it?
Well, we knew about the Star Wars television show. Yep. We talked about that. So they're going to do a live-action show. You know, we don't know when it's going to be set, really anything else about it. We know it's going to be on the Disney streaming service, which we'll probably have to pay for, so maybe we won't even watch it. I don't know how down you guys are to pay for a Disney streaming service.
I'm not excited about the Disney streaming service aspect of it, to be honest with you.
I mean, if the show is incredible, I would consider, like, you know, getting it for a month, binging it, and turning it off until next season or something. But that's not really the story here. Jon Favreau, I say it wrong every time. You know, the guy's, he's a talent, dude. He's been doing really cool stuff. So he directed one of the best Marvel movies with Iron Man 1. He's done Jungle Book, which was phenomenal. He's done, you know, he goes back to the, like, Swingers days. He's legit. So they're getting a pretty top talent guy to be running this thing, writing it and executive producing it. I think it's really good news.
All right, do I care? Not yet.
Okay. The only reason that it makes me slightly nervous for the quality of it is that it is going to be on the Disney streaming service. I don't know. I don't know what like you said, we don't know anything about it, so maybe they're trying to make it their flagship to get everybody to sign up.
Yeah,
but
what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a huge budget. More so maybe, now that you see Jon Favreau getting involved.
But it also might suck, and that's why they're putting it on the streaming service. Like, they don't have high hopes for it.
I heard all of their content is going to be, like, for children, right? There's nothing rated R. It's not going to be violent. There's not going to be swearing. So to me...
Well, I mean, that's always been Star Wars. That's okay.
No, I'm talking about the entire Disney streaming service.
Yeah.
And to me, that is just like... It's like Christian rock music to me. Like, why would you limit yourself to one thing?
Right.
Right? Like, you could do other things as well. And
it doesn't have to be good to sell records.
Yeah. And so to me, it's like you could easily have different, you know, areas of your network or your streaming service. So
it's a little weird
for them. Not yet.
It's a little weird for them to start a streaming service with a big show that a lot of people will care about, people that are young, old, and people that don't have kids, right? So if you're trying to sell this as mostly a network for kids shows, well, there's a lot of people out there that don't want that shit but want to see the show. So it's a gamble for them to do that. instead of selling it to, or, you know, maybe playing it on one of their many networks they own, like FX or something now, you know. But we'll see. We'll stay tuned.
All right, next up, Obamas. The Obamas are in talks with Netflix to release some type of content. What do we know about that so far?
They're probably going to get paid, you know, $60 million or something, and it'll probably be like a, you know, a talk show and maybe some documentaries and whatever else. I'm not all that excited about it.
Well, yeah,
I mean, I do love some Obama, but...
A Barack Obama-hosted talk show?
I thought I was going to be excited about, like, the David Letterman with Barack Obama on it, and I haven't even watched it yet. So, like, I just don't think I care that much.
I watched it last week. It was really good.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good.
Do I care? Hell yeah, I care.
Okay, you would.
I don't... Will it be good? Who knows? Will I watch it? Absolutely.
Okay.
Will there be just huge factions of the internet that is, like...
oh my God.
Angry people, and then like of those angry people, like 2/3 of them are like bots.
Yeah.
That are just in a rage that a former president would take money to be on some kind of reality TV.
It's not gonna be reality TV at all.
I mean, what kind of president would be on reality TV?
Right, that's a very good point.
So people will be pissed.
I think it's gonna be boring, average. I think it'll be like the least controversial shit ever, and it'll be like the most controversial reaction for some reason.
Absolutely. So do I care? Hell yeah, I care. I can't wait.
Barter, do you care?
I don't care yet.
He doesn't care.
It depends on what it's gonna be, but I don't care yet. Like, anyway.
All right, next up, we have news of Todd Phillips, who's going to be doing a Joker movie, and it's going to be based on a famous graphic novel, The Killing Joke. Do we care?
A little bit. I think it's every little piece of news I've heard about this movie so far has gotten me a little bit more excited for it.
Yeah, so the Killing Joke premise is that the Joker is a failed comedian, essentially, and then has one bad day and then just turns to a life of crime. So this would be like the story leading up to the Michael Keaton Batman, right? Mm-hmm. What got him to, because you just kind of hop into Batman. The Joker's not the Joker yet, but he becomes that in the first, what, 20
but
minutes?
But he's a criminal, right? And then visually and kind of mentally, he goes over the edge.
Jack something or other, but right. I forget his last name. It's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Nicholson?
Wasn't his name Jack in the movie?
Oh, like really?
His
character? The Joker? I didn't even know that.
Before that. Anyway, not important. So this would be like sort of the prequel to that in a way, if you want to think about like just a linear timeline. And it's Joaquin Phoenix playing, you know, the Joker. I think he gives everything he has to his roles. I think it's based on a graphic novel. So, I mean, Jimbo, you and I were talking off air. This could be a hard R.
I'm not going to say.
Like, it sounds for sure.
Yeah. And that sounds kind of cool. I mean, the Killing Joke is pretty well revered amongst.
Isn't The Killing Joke the very popular cartoon movie? It's on Netflix.
Yep.
It's all.
It was made from the graphic novel. Yeah.
Yep, it is. And it's really popular as well. It's on Netflix. I watched it before. It's kind of like uncomfortable how it's like voice acted and, you know, the whole story.
I think that's Mark Hamill doing the Joker too,
but it's a lot of fun. It's a really cool story, and here's my thing and the reason I care, because to me Marvel, it makes worse comic books and has characters that make less sense, and their powers are varying from God to wealthy man, and
okay,
more so than even in DC. I mean, it's pretty wild, their characters. And they've taken that and they've written incredible movies, right? Maybe right. with parts of the comics. DC has incredible comic books with just timeless stories, and they don't use any of them in their movies. And the movies are absolutely atrocious. And so my hope is that they start going to what is tried and true, what are the most famous stories in their universe, and going to some of those. And instead of trying to make up new things and put new people together, they just tell us some of the stories that we know we love.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of, you know, I'm starting to have high hopes for this. You look at the talent stacking up with Scorsese producing, Todd Phillips directing, Hangover Guy. He's done other funny stuff. And Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, it could be good. And I think it has more potential than, you know, Batman 3 or, you know, Justice League 2, whatever.
Do we care?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we care.
Yep. Next up, Philip Pullman, someone who James loves.
Oh, yeah. I
signed on to do television adaptations of his?
No, movies.
Yep. Okay, who's it for?
So, we got Tom Hooper, who is like a serious filmmaker. He like, you know, did The King's Speech, was nominated for Best Director. He might have won Best Director for that.
I believe he did.
I think he won Best Director and the movie won Best Picture. So he's like a serious guy. So he is going to do big budget adaptations of His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman. So that's, you know, we saw Golden Compass a while back. Nicole Kidman, who's your guys' guy you're obsessed with? He's Ooh, Bond.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, it was in him. It. You know, the movie wasn't that bad, but it also wasn't great, and it didn't do well, and they didn't make, you know, The Subtle Knife or Amber Spyglass after that. So this hopefully gives us another chance to see these incredible books brought to the big screen, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed The Golden Compass.
I kind of did,
like,
too.
It was different, you know, with the, like, just the way the story was told in a serious note in kind of a kid-friendly way.
But it was kind of, like, dark and serious. Yeah, I think this probably would be more of a set of adult movies just because, you know, even now, you know, the books have been out for 20 years as opposed to, like, 10 years where you'd have, like, a younger audience still. Everybody that read those books are now in their 20s and 30s plus. So I hope it's a more serious adaptation.
Yeah. Well, and that might have been part of the problem with The Golden Compass was it couldn't figure out what it really was.
Yeah.
Was it a young adult movie or more adult themed? And I really liked it. But yeah, this is kind of big news.
It is big.
Big news. We care.
Does Eric care? He doesn't care. Look at him.
Not yet.
He wasn't even listening to you.
No,
he was looking up ESPN.
He's tweeting.
No, not
even from our account. He's tweeting from his own account.
No. I think I care. I'm not quite there yet.
Okay.
Finally, Kristen Wiig is she signed on to be in the next Wonder Woman movie. What do we know about it?
Well, she's going to play the bad person, the bad woman, Cheetah. And I don't know much about the character from the comic books. I'm not a big comic book reader. So I went to the people that know best, and that's the people of Reddit and the internet.
Yeah.
A lot of people are very excited that this is going to be Wonder Woman versus Cheetah. I think that part is exciting. I don't know about Kristen Wiig playing this role as like a serious, you know, big bad.
Seems weird, doesn't it? Like a really weird casting choice.
It is odd. And maybe it's availability. Other people that are maybe better suited weren't available. They already signed on to other projects. So if you want to talk about taking a flyer on it, it's that sometimes comedic actors in serious roles can pull it off.
Yeah.
I just don't, I don't know if Kristen Wiig is capable of that. Like if she's not being like sarcastic and dry, I don't know if I'd, you know, it's just kind of weird to see her.
It is
in
weird.
Something else.
And I don't think it was a mistake. I mean, there are, you know, at least 50 actresses that do like could be a serious badass woman, like Noomi Rapace or Scarlett Johansson or who did I say earlier?
Charlize.
Like, yeah, Charlize Theron. You know, just somebody that like could be make a stern face and be badass and be believable, as opposed to like if Kristen Wiig like was trying to be mean, I would probably laugh. But that's why I sort of think that she'll kind of play like this kind of dry wit, entertaining person before a transformation where she becomes like almost unrecognizable as like with CG or makeup into a cheetah woman. And then it will be okay that she's badass.
It's giving me, the reason I think it's going to work is because it reminds me a lot of, I'm going to blow this here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The show on True Detective.
Okay. Yeah.
with our guy Vince Vaughn. I mean,
Vaughn was horrible.
It went so well with him flipping over from comedy into being a serious badass. It went so well. It reminds me of that. I think it will go just as well.
So it's going to be a pile of shit.
No, I'm kidding. I think she'll do a fine job, but it seems weird.
I think she's a better overall actor than Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Or actress, excuse me. And I think, you know, I think Patty Jenkins probably knows what she's doing, and she probably looked at a bunch of actresses that could have played that role, and maybe Charlize was in the running for it, and they gave it to Kristen Wiig for whatever reason. I'm not saying that, you know, we know anything about casting choices, but maybe there were other ones that were seemingly more reputable, and Patty went with the one that she, you know, thought screen tested the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be entertaining. Hope it works.
All right, so do we care?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I care.
Come on, you care.
All right, we're going to move on to a new segment. and this segment is called Hypotheticals.
Now, that's your favorite thing to do anyways, Eric.
If anybody knows me, they know that I love hypotheticals. So we're going there today.
If you were falling from an airplane and you were handed a hot dog or an ice cream cone, which would you take a bite of first before you died?
That's actually one that I asked you.
Yeah. Yeah, right. All right. The answer is the ice cream.
But then he would add another layer to it, like, but the hot dog only has relish on it.
Yeah. Like oh, yeah. Oh, come on. I thought it'd just be mustard. Son of a.
All right, guys. So in hypotheticals today, we're going to talk about a combination of your fandom and smart business. Okay.
Ooh.
So I'm going to ask you guys which roles you would take in the following hypothetical question. So first question, which movie franchise would you want to be cast in today? Exactly where they are right now. For the future, the foreseeable future of movies. You don't know which character you are, but you know you are an important character mm-hmm. in that movie or TV franchise. What would you choose?
All right, this is a good one. I like this. Do you have an answer, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to go Star Wars.
Fuck! That was going to be my answer.
Okay.
I was going to do the Ryan Johnson trilogy of Star Wars.
That's
films.
Where I was going to go, too.
Okay, so you guys can both have it, but can you guys give us some reasons why you would want to be in that?
Well, I mean, you could go from a relatively unknown to all of a sudden you're getting cast in a bunch of movies, whether they're good or bad. You have an opportunity to hone your craft and make money being an actor. So Star Wars, I mean, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley were both relatively unknown in the acting, I think, overall.
Especially Daisy Ridley.
And maybe in the UK, John Boyega was maybe a little bit, you know, better known than he was here in the
US. The
only
thing I'd seen him in was Attack the Block, which was like a lower budget British sci-fi movie, pretty damn good if you guys haven't seen it, but
not really that notable.
No, definitely,
right?
not a big
before movie. Star Wars, you wouldn't have recognized them probably on the, like, on the street.
Well,
right?
I might have, but
maybe,
but most people would,
but now you would for sure.
Oh,
if
for
you
sure
saw him, like, across
it's
the
bar. A good career launcher, absolutely. Yeah. And dude, I mean, I think this series has a lot of potential. Plus, when you look at the other franchises, a lot of them are waning right now. DC, I wouldn't want to touch. You know, I'm sure the guy that, like, got cast as, you know, this Ezreal, whatever his name is, got cast as Flash, is thinking this is, like, my big break. He'll probably get recast before another movie. I mean, I wouldn't want to touch DC. Marvel is, it's yet to prove it, if the true big Phase 2 works, like the reboot. And so maybe my option B would be, like, whoever Captain America hands the shield to as he's dying in Avengers 2. Avengers 4, whatever this, you know, last one will be, maybe.
Okay.
But, you know, the Harry Potter movies, those things suck. The Newt Scamander ones. Oh, Eric, you get to choose in this yeah, scenario?
You're killing me, dude.
I thought you were a host here. All right, go.
I would choose Harry Potter.
Okay.
I
think it's a horrible choice, as I just explained.
One, I think with four movies coming, I think that they will right the ship. I feel confident in that. And I think that they realize that Newt is a shitty character, like you were saying.
Yep.
And I think this this version of Dumbledore is going to be a lot of fun. Who is it?
Jude Law, man.
Jude Law.
He looks awesome.
He looks fucking awesome. I can't even wait for that part of it. And it, as they introduce all of the characters that we do know, kind of leading us into the Harry Potter story. I mean, you're going to get Harry's parents. You're going to get Sirius Black.
So you'd like to be cast as, like, James Potter.
Yeah, James Potter, Sirius Black, like someone like that. Like one of the characters who, you know their fate already, but they're going to be really fun for a few movies. So I think as they move closer to the Harry Potter universe we know, it would be a lot of fun to be in those movies. Plus, just as a fan, it would be awesome to roll around with a wand for a while.
I'm into it. I like it.
It might not be the best financial decision like you guys were thinking, but I'd be all on board for that. So that would be my choice. All right. This one, though, is a little, you might need to be a little more financially motivated to answer this question. So the next hypothetical today is, which cartoon character all time would you most want to voice?
Wow.
I'll start while you guys think.
All right.
Because these questions are literally being dropped on them. They have no idea. They're desperately trying to think of people right now. So I have two that I would choose from. I mean, obviously, if I was really smart and I was only worried about money, I would choose Mickey Mouse, right?
Yeah, because they're still making Mickey Mouse stuff.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse will be around forever. It's not hard.
Oh my God, you're amazing.
I'm there. I got it. I can do it. That would be an easy one to choose. Another one that would be a lot of fun, probably not for your finances, but would be a blast to be part of, would be to be a regular South Park character.
Yeah.
That'd be a great time. But my choice... Yeah,
except those two guys do like 98% of the voices, so there really wouldn't be a spot in the studio for you.
Yeah, I could have been Chef. I don't know.
You're right. Yeah, you look just like him.
Yeah, but I would choose Jack Skellington.
That's so dumb. Why? He's not in cartoons. He was in one movie in like 1994.
Yeah, just a classic role though.
All right.
You get to sing. You get to be just a classic like cult favorite forever. Okay. People will remember that role for all time.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, who did it the first time? Exactly my point.
Well played.
We don't even know.
That's because I didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have been known forever. Be a Jack Skellington. Name. Yeah, so there you go.
All right, I got mine.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to steal this from Jim, I guarantee it. Ready?
I know you are.
We're going to go 2 for 2. I would love to do Rick Sanchez in Rick and Morty.
Yeah, maybe well, that obviously yours. That's what I was going to say. No, it was for sure.
Was it really?
Oh, of course.
Really? Rick Sanchez is incredible because you could just say all the things that you can't ever say to your kids or your grandkids. And just, they're all inappropriate, and you get all sorts of funny jokes. Dan Harmon made Justin Roiland get drunk for some takes last season or whatever.
It does seem like a lot of fun.
Right, because a lot of it can just be like improv, and you just voice whatever, and they'll draw whatever you say, and it will work amazingly. I think it would just be a fun show to work on, too.
Just plus, just reading that script for the first time, you would just die laughing, because the writing is so hilarious.
For sure.
All right, so, you know, Disney's making all these live action movies, which I'm not really sure you can call them live action, especially like when you either have one or even zero human characters in it. It's just a CG action. It's just like computer. Yes. So it might be like now they're doing Lion King. That I'm sorry, I don't know how it's gonna be live action, man. It's just gonna be computer animated and animals anyways. Yeah. But they're doing Aladdin, Genie.
Yes,
come
that's,
on
that's
man.
Way up there.
Yeah. Come on, that'd be legendary. You I mean I really sing. Wouldn't want to fill Robin Williams' shoes?
Yeah. Because
whoever does it is going to suck ass, like compared to that.
Yeah, but I'm saying you would have been him in the original movie.
Then that's it, yes.
He would have never done it.
It's maybe the best cartoon voice performance of all time.
It might be the best cartoon movie of all time.
It might be.
I love Aladdin.
We can debate that on its own.
I'd love to. Next week we can go after it on which is the best cartoon or which the best Disney movie is. My vote's Aladdin. I'm telling you guys already. Well,
I think you have to divide it into categories, like animated and computer animated.
I don't think you do.
No, I think you do, because I think some of the, you know, you have way more advantages with creativity and the movie itself with today's technology versus like 300 people hand drawing a red parrot on Jafar's shoulder, you know, for 6 months, you know.
That's Fantasia.
Yeah,
is incredible.
With the brooms,
I mean, they literally drew it all, and it's what's crazy is my dad actually has.
That's because you picked Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. My dad actually has one of the original drawings of
like Fantasia. On the transparencies.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
All right, nice.
So you go, Fantasia.
I see Barter as more of like Gilbert Gottfried as the parrot in Aladdin.
Ooh, yes, I do too.
Just cranky, loud,
Jafar.
Fuck. What if he just swore the whole time?
It would have made it from like a 92 to 100.
Yeah, it would have just pushed it over the edge for you.
All right, guys, our last hypothetical today is the most open-ended, probably the easiest to answer, but also, I don't know, maybe we'll give you the most thoughts. Maybe you'll keep it with Rick. I don't know. Mm. But if you could be any movie or TV character, you were the original person in that role. It had the same amount of success. Mm-hmm. You could be any character. You could be as timeless as that character is. Who would you choose and why?
Badger from Breaking Bad. No.
I'll tell you mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
So mine would be Jon Snow. Now, I understand that it's not the most timeless character because it is on HBO, and it's not a movie that children or a show or a movie that children see.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an iconic show. And it would still be a memorable role. And plus, I would just love to be part of Game of Thrones, which has been just the most amazing story that I've ever watched told. And so I would choose Jon Snow. He's been such an awesome character. And everybody loves Jon Snow. I've never heard of one person who watched Game of Thrones and didn't think he was amazing. Where yeah. I could argue that Luke Skywalker was kind of a little bitch.
Oh, you can make that argument and nobody can really argue against you. That's the thing. So, yeah, I mean, I like that. You know, get to make out with Daenerys Targaryen. That's not so bad.
And Ygritte.
It's a hard pass for me, Bob. So, yeah.
What?
Ygritte? Come on. And I can't believe he married her in real life. Is she, like, good looking? Am I wrong?
She's gorgeous. Yes.
Okay. Eric's giving me the real. Yeah,
she's
gorgeous. Giving me a shoulder shrug. Like,
pretty much.
I don't know if she's Jon Snow level, but.
I'm saying, not Kit Harington.
I think she's great for a wildling that you run into on the other side of the wall and you're cold she's and you're like, everybody else is like ugly men and here's a woman.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Also,
in the book, she's not supposed to be very good looking.
I know. Anyway, we're getting away.
I'm getting further away.
You're getting further away.
I know that we've talked about this before.
He's like, I'm leaning.
For
into
the
it.
Record, I tried to stop it. Right, go ahead.
Let's note that.
I know that we've talked about this before, but the fact that Benioff and Weiss wrote into the script so many times that Jon Snow has a little dick is too funny to me. And it's so funny that he pranks them and their prank back is to just write
his character with a small penis
into the script of the show. It's hilarious to me.
That's just so brutal.
Because
they can do it.
All of Kit Harington's pranks are they go like behind the scenes. Nobody but the cast and crew really knows about them unless, you know, there's a DVD extra or something.
Right.
Whereas like 30 million people heard me say that you have a small penis.
Yeah, like it's the greatest prank I've ever heard. So that would be my choice. What about you guys?
My character, I'm gonna go with George Costanza from Seinfeld.
I can't wait for your explanation.
One, I'm bald.
It would be like, dude, name the three people you wouldn't want to play, and George might be on there. But go.
One, I'm bald. Already got the hairline. Good to go there.
Were you bald when George Costanza was cast? Probably not.
I was getting there.
Okay.
It's like high school.
All right.
Two, like, I feel like I have some of the ornery tendencies, like a little bit more on the cynical side. He's very far, you know, he's Larry David, right? It's this very cynical, the world is against me for a million different reasons. I'm not quite that far, but I think I could play that. I think I'm close enough.
You would nail it.
To cynicism, like full cynicism, that I'd be able to just, like, really show that anger on screen. Plus, I think to be able to work with a comedic genius like Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld simultaneously, and obviously before she really became a very acclaimed actress, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, at the same time, to work with that kind of a talent for 9 seasons on such an iconic show that's literally still on television on 4 channels every night,
yeah,
that's a pretty cool deal, I think. Like, he's still getting paychecks for that role, which was 30 years ago.
Okay.
It's pretty incredible.
I think it's good. I like the answer. I'm happy with it.
I'm excited that you went with something that that totally threw me off.
You think that's going to throw you off? Wait for mine.
All right.
Tony fucking Soprano.
Wow.
You guys like that? Except I would still be alive.
Okay.
I would plan to live on past, you know, 8 years after the show ended or whatever. But yeah, I mean, just total badass. Everybody thought, what's the actor's name again? I'm sorry, I'm going to look at Barter here. I had it when I first thought of this answer, but now I can't remember. Well, anyways, he killed it. Iconic as hell. One of the greatest shows, really started premiere television, like literally as we know it, was Sopranos. And you get to work with HBO. I would still be getting jobs with HBO left and right because they just keep hiring within their own talent pool. And I could kind of let myself go and it wouldn't be a problem.
Plus the Boom Boom Room.
James Gandolfini.
Yeah, Gandolfini.
And you got the name already.
I already got the same name. So yeah, that's what I'm going with. I'll probably think about this later tonight and be like, what a horrible choice. I could literally come up with 7 better ones, but that's what's fun when you put us on the spot, right?
I love that you had all movies and all TV to choose from, and we all chose TV characters.
Yeah.
Because they live
a job.
On.
It's a bigger job.
It's a longer job. You might make less money.
I mean, okay, Han Solo if you want a boring answer.
Han Solo.
But it's TV in a good show. Like, you know, obviously hindsight's 20/20. Looking back, you want to be on a successful TV show. It's just more sustainable. It's more sustainable than a movie. Like, that shit could flop. Like, the marketing department could fuck it up. Yeah. And, you know, we've seen that 100 times. So the TV route, I think, is more consistent work. It's probably easier work overall, because you just fall right back into the character as soon as you show up on set, right. And then you just read the lines like as that guy. Like, it's probably I shouldn't say it's easy, but maybe easier in the sense of more familiarity.
Once you've established it and people like your character, you can probably roll.
Yeah, like small tweaks here and there, but it's the same person.
Yeah, I mean, my boring answer would definitely be Harry Potter, because you would just be Harry Potter in your life.
Jesus Christ. You're too good looking for that.
No, but Daniel saying, Radcliffe is no, but a my point is like Daniel Radcliffe could literally have like an escalator from his closet to his bed, because it's just a blank check to play a character that you are forever, that you can't even get away from. I mean, it's kind of destroyed the rest of his acting career.
Yeah, he's doing really weird stuff now.
He doesn't have any choices.
But he's everyone's not really
oh shit, Harry Potter's in a horror movie now.
I mean, they didn't really know that he was like going to stop growing when he got to like 5'2". Yeah. And that he was going to develop the face of a weasel. I mean, the guy didn't age well. So I don't really know. He doesn't have like a leading man look.
No, he doesn't.
So I don't know.
But he's doing just fine.
It's the plight of men in Hollywood. They have it so bad.
Yeah.
That was all facetious. Okay, I get it. All
right, guys.
Is Eric just a little too obsessed with Harry Potter? Like, yeah, he's used it for like three answers now.
Guys, I went with Jon Snow.
You went with Jon Snow.
I also picked Jack Skellington.
That was the worst answer I've heard all night.
Your kid would love me.
He does love all skeletons. Especially if they sing.
All right, guys. So it's time for our final segment, and we're going to move to the world of beer for this one. So we were, at Fair State checking out some of the brand new Mirror Universe cans, and that made us think about one of our favorite topics, branding. Yep. And so, given a little teaser of what's to come in April, we have a really cool interview coming up. Jim, can you tell us a little bit more about what that will be?
Yeah, I mean, I can. So it's going to be towards the end of April. I believe we're going to be recording on the 22nd, so look for it then. We're going to be talking with Mike. His Instagram handle is m_shocker. His last name is really crazy, like mine. My last name is Dreschmeyer. If I was him, I would probably just try to rebrand myself as like Jim Danger, you know, because he just went from like shooting fruiter dooter to like shocker. And I like that. So we're going to call him Mike, and he works at Little Co. And they're, a Minneapolis design firm, and they do all of Fair State's branding, which we've really liked all along. I think it's actually improving now that they've sort of released themselves from the box of having the large graphic FS Infinity logo with the pint. It's a good logo, but they maybe box themselves up too much. Now they're like broken free. And I've seen some cans that they're going to be releasing in this giant collaboration they're doing with Surly. And so I'm sure we'll talk to Mike about that. It'll be really interesting, man. I mean, see what the industry's like, see what his creative process is like, and how the hell, what do you drink the beer and then just go for it or what? So that'll be interesting.
Well, and the one of the guys from Fair State was mentioning some other, branding work he's done for other companies. Like, he did a promo for Bunny's Bar in St. Louis Park. I forget what the promotion was, but has a really good, like, creative, cool mind. So it'll be fun to pick his brain. We did Travis, who did the cans from Able.
Yeah.
So it's cool to get that aspect of it, because we do like to talk about the branding so much, so it'd be fun to get another expert's opinion on some of the creative choices.
Yeah, so that made me think, what are a few of your favorite breweries or beers when it comes to cans and branding in Minnesota?
So I think we have to say Bauhaus.
Yeah,
is maybe the best. Most consistently cool. Their colors are incredible. Their words are a little hard to read with their, alternating stacking with, it's almost out of order. But if you take a look at it, you can figure it out. And it looks cool. So it doesn't almost matter what it says. I think they probably have maybe the best branding in Minnesota.
Yeah, so Saros.com did the 30 best-looking beer cans in America. And out of the top 30, two of them were from Minnesota. Bauhaus being one of them and Fair State being the other.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it is really crazy. So people love the branding of those two. They're both really simple. They do a great job of like color blocking. And it's funny because I think both of their cans look better with a bunch of their beers and a bunch of the different beers next to each other.
Yes.
More so than they look individually.
Yeah.
So they actually look cooler in the cooler
yep.
than they do when I just look at one of their cans. And I think that's really important that you don't just think about it because how often are you looking at one beer can when you're trying to decide what to buy? Never.
Yeah, in fact, the stuff that isn't color blocked up there in a big row, you tend to skip.
Yes.
Because you're like, you look at a big block of color and you pick one, you pick a brand or a style from that brand. Whereas, you know, if that brewery's only, or that liquor store is only stocking one type from that brewery, you might just pass right by it.
Yeah, you wouldn't even notice half the time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go, I still like Insight's branding.
Yeah,
especially
great.
Their original stuff.
Yeah.
Some of their newer color choices are a little bit
like
obtuse.
The bright orange of the mousse or like the
I guess it's okay. You know, we just talked about breaking out from like your original mold, but a lot of their with the sort of that grayish blue can with all the different colors that mm-hmm. they have, it definitely like
when it
you
looks
talk,
good.
Yeah, when you talk about standing out in the beer case, they definitely do. Like I can spot them from, you know, across the liquor store. It's very easy and you know, like, oh, I'm in the mood for a Sunken City or a Trollway or something like that. I feel like Insight's branding, you know, and we got to learn the story, you know, about how that was just sort of a pro bono deal with a local Minnesota marketing company that was like, yeah, we'll do it for free, and mm-hmm. you guys need a rebrand. So
yeah, that was crazy. They were, I mean, the story there was nuts. I'll give you a little more. Like it was the company that did like Delta. And huge brands, but they sort of only had to do upkeep with them all the time. Like, here, make a new flyer for this or a new whatever. And they wanted to, every year, they did a contest to launch a brand from scratch just to give people practice. And Insight won. So, pretty crazy.
I like that. Again, original stuff, not as good, I think, as their... Or original stuff is better than some of their newer stuff.
So, I'll say, besides Bauhaus, I'm just going to say Able.
So classy.
I mean, it's very cool.
They
I
look
mean,
great.
They talk about simple and color blocking. They have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Travis, it goes back to, I think, was that our very first interview we ever did?
Yeah, first we or had, second, yeah.
I mean, this is way
really,
back
really,
2 years
really,
ago.
Really, really, really early, yeah.
We had Travis that did all their work.
When we pooled our mics together in a circle and held a cell phone over the top of it so we could interview him.
Dude, I love that we're throwing everything back. It's perfect. Yeah, I just think that they have awesome, awesome branding. They've started to do a little bit different stuff. They have a new beer coming out that has, like, really cool kind of faded kind of... I don't know, circles or something. It's hard to describe, but they're branching out a little bit, and everything they've done still fits within their mode. And I like it. Eric, what's your favorite?
All right, two of them come to mind for me. One of them is Modest. I think that they've really, jazzed up their cans. Everything looks so cool. Later this week, we'll actually try one of their new beers, and it looks unbelievable. It looks so cool, even though it is a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks so cool.
I know.
I'm really
and
excited.
That's okay. That's okay. Especially for a small release.
Yeah.
Just get a really nice printed sticker. That's okay too.
But yeah.
Dreamyard was the better beer, but that false pattern
looks
like design
so cool.
was incredible.
Yeah. Yep. Dreamyard, First Call, they all look really cool to me. Every can is so different that they don't maybe pop as much on the shelf. But,
as a unit, yeah.
But the cans themselves are really, really cool. And then I would say the other one is Fulton. I think that they rebranded and mm-hmm. they went with like the black cans with the different colors as well. And then for their one-off stuff, they change it up and do things that are different colors.
Yep.
But I think they're really classy looking. And I always think like classy, classic, and everything looks great.
Yeah.
Whether it's like a sports team logo, a business logo, and especially on a beer can. So I think they look really cool as well.
Well, and it's nice to see people going back to some simplicity overall, because, you know, 5 years ago, everyone was like, okay, we need cartoons. We need crazy colors. Mm-hmm. We need you to not be able to understand anything that's going on.
It's almost like old NBA logos.
Right.
Everybody needed to have like a dinosaur with tennis shoes on.
They're like, listen, the busier, the better.
Yeah.
And I think that everyone kind of got sick of that. And now, you know, the simplistic approach is definitely the way to go. And it's nice to see a lot of these places doing that. Even stuff like False Pattern or Spirit Fowl from Fair State. Like a little bit complicated and a little like, you know, colory and stuff like that, but it looks really good.
Yeah, I would say the number one turnoff for me with a beer is when it looks intentionally cabin-y. I fucking hate it so much when it looks like it's supposed to be drank at the cabin.
So you love Lion and Kugels.
Are you looking at Summit right now when you say that?
I'm looking at like Dogfish Head. Okay. Yeah, Lion and Kugels is the worst one.
Like
for that.
I hate print that looks like it's been stamped. Like yeah. A sloppy edge on it.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit always sucks. Always.
Yeah, I don't like the idea that like this is cabin beer. Maybe I'm just not cabin guy.
Dude, I drink Coors Light at the cabin.
You're wearing a vest right now. You're kind of
you
cabin
look
guy.
So cabiny. A Henley with a green vest on.
I guess I'm a little cabiny today. But
but you got the haircut. It's high and tight.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're looking
yeah.
good.
Yeah. So there you go.
So luckily, you got the earbuds in, so you look hipster.
Yeah.
Right? That helps.
I want it to be like, well, okay. So my fiance, Laura, and I went to a dedication last week. At a church, and we couldn't find a dedication card, so we just got a blank card that we could find, and we decided to get one of cats shooting lasers out of their eyes flying through outer space, and just said, sorry, they don't make dedication cards.
Yeah, because what's a dedication? Yeah.
I think I'm trying to go for that with beer. Like, it should catch my attention. It should be kind of ironic and funny.
Yeah.
And if it's none of those things, then it better look like it's been around for, like, 75 years.
Okay.
Like Shell's.
Yeah.
Like Shell's logo pretty much hasn't changed, but it also doesn't have a log.
It doesn't really have to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, talking about a classic, like we're talking about Summit, they went and got an amazing looking logo, right? So they rebranded their logo, and then they proceeded to lay it over like watercolor images of like a bridge and the city. And God damn it, put that beautiful logo on a solid block of color, and you
and
got
leave
something
it alone.
Beautiful.
Leave it alone. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So. You know, we can't do it all. We can't help everybody.
We're
but
passionate
we do our,
about this.
Yeah, because there's so many options now that when you look in the fridge, something's going to pop. And you're going to take a second look at it. And, you know, you may see it's made by 612 and then move on. But if it looks good, there's a good chance it is good. Because people that know how to do good beer probably also take the time to do quality branding.
I think we should put it to the test by doing terrible beer with great branding.
Yeah.
And just see. I think we'd do well.
I'm trying to think of who makes terrible beer but has
good
branding.
But we also don't like to, I mean.
We don't like to rip. We just like to
If we were doing
elevate.
Outside of Minnesota, I would be down with that. Like, here's a perfect example. Like, but for the opposite of that, like Castle Danger. I feel like their logos are some of the dumbest shit you can see on the shelves, but they actually make pretty decent beer.
Yep. It's absolutely one where I'm glad that I know that their beer is good and I've had it before and I know that it has a good reputation because I probably wouldn't be reaching for that on the shelf.
Completely agree.
It looks like a Shell's to me.
Yeah. And it's just all over the place.
And you know who has amazing artwork that's kind of up and coming is Drucker.
Yeah.
So they release like a million beers all the damn time, put them all in 4-pack cans and push them out to these liquor stores all over the cities. And every single one has like a giant colorful illustration specially made for it. Their illustrator has to just be like the busiest man alive or woman. Yeah. I don't know who it is, but dude, crazy.
Killing it.
Yep.
All right, guys. That's all the time we have on this Nordy's podcast. Thanks so much. We'll be back with you guys later this week for a sports cast. And Jim and I, at least, will be coming to you from the Florida Keys with some kind of updates on whatever we find out throughout the week. So stay tuned to that. Look on Facebook. Look on Instagram. And keep listening to the Nordy's podcast. We appreciate you guys. Make sure on the March 29th, 7 o'clock, you guys are out at Bauhaus hanging out with us, drinking, asking questions, winning some prizes, and having a good time. Hopefully, we'll see you guys there. Until then, thanks for listening to the Nordy's podcast.